This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Everybody, Harmontown is now in session. The Meltdown Show is gone, but Harmontown persists. Let's bring out Spencer Crittenden, everybody. And the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Okay, you know, there's warm-up and then there's show-stealing. You might want to just cool it down a little bit.
What are you afraid of, Dan? Are you afraid that I will overshadow you with my pre-show antics?
Yeah, because they involve like exercise and stuff. What am I supposed to do?
That's why I do it pre-show, so you don't have to get, you know, in a lather.
But then it's like just like Jabba the Hutt following Luke Skywalker.
Did you see me chop that cigarette in half with a whip?
Yeah, you used the force. I'm so proud of you. You should have your own trilogy of movies, and I should just be a big fat thing at the beginning of the worst one. We get it.
Are you gonna freeze me in carbonite, just to be a dick?
And to create a 40 years of awkward soaps and chocolates.
Wait, there's Han Solo frozen chocolates?
Oh, like, yeah, man.
Oh, man.
I shouldn't say awkward because I love them. Like I have carbonite Han Solo ice trays.
For
like
real?
Like little rubber things you can have Han Solo frozen
and amazing.
Carbonite ice in your drink. I don't really they melt so fast because his little fingers and you know what it's not ideal, but and there's like soaps and chocolates and stuff.
Soap's the way to go because you can just leave it out in ornamental Han Solo soap.
All right, so
Han Sopo.
Do you guys know who? You guys heard the name Katie May? The unfortunate was she a model actor and they just found out that she died mysteriously, but they traced it to she went to the chiropractor. This is just my fucking I just not to make her tragedy about me, but I was like I
but if you did it would go a little something.
She went to the chiropractor and he just like adjusted her to the point where then she went home and just without realizing it kind of slowly died. I it pinched something that must have just, and it sounds like an urban legend, but she just like went home and was like just laying there and must have been, I mean, we don't know what happened in her final hours, but the cause of death was, I'm never going to the chiropractor again.
Well, also, like, my girlfriend has like stiff neck issues, and like she always asks me to crack her back. Am I going to kill her one day by doing it?
I mean, okay. So just another thing to worry about. Just keep playing video games, and
let's convince her that it's really dangerous, so I never have to do it again.
Speaking of safety. Now, and this is the reason why in the months ahead I'm struggling very hard to create a Graham Norton feedback loop. I want the show to evolve to the point where you people, what do you mean you people? You white people can is what I usually mean. Can see what the people on the stream are seeing so that, you know, like I'm not saying the goal is to become a real TV show, for God's sake. I mean, no, that'd be terrible. But I'm just saying, like you'll have a lot more fun because I can show you this Instagram of this lady. Maybe you've seen it. There's this beautiful woman, a beautiful specimen of humanity. I don't mean physical. I'm not. Well, now what am I doing? Saying that she's ugly?
Not my first choice.
I'm saying I'm using beautiful in a spiritual way. I'm saying like this is like amazing. Like there's an Instagram. Somebody took on a plane of a woman. Kelly Oxford re-Instagrammed it. I don't know where this source is from, but it's this woman, and she's sitting on an airplane, and she's got the neck pillow, so her head's propped up. She's sound asleep. And clipped to the neck pillow, it kind of looks like a neck brace. Like it's almost like she has whiplash. Like it's like one of those pillows that just is just holding her head like perfectly still. And like clipped to the neck pillow is a laminated card, like a pristine, like typographically graceful. like she, it's like the leading is perfect. Like the kerning, everything. Like, And it's laminated and it has a little clip on it. It clips right to her neck pillow. And I want to make sure I get it right because she's a woman of exactitude who is... fuck. Where is it? Oh, here it is. It says, "Please wake me for snacks and drinks. Thank you." And she's just sound asleep.
That's great.
It was amazing to me because like what I the caption that sums up your visceral reaction immediately is like, you know, from the there was like some person responded immediately with like, "This bitch is my hero." which kind of sums up the dichotomy because it's kind of like you're jolted by her having demands and entitlement and all stuff, but she's managing all of it.
But that says so many things. She travels a lot. First off,
she also
likes to get her little Z's on the plane.
But also,
don't call her late for dinner.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of amazing because it's like you're so used to the dichotomy being, oh, there's people who are zen who are in the moment, and those are the good people, and there's the uptight, schedule-based people, and those are the bad people. But no, it's nothing's ever that simple.
Right.
Like, this is a person who clearly, like she plans her shit out. She has foresight, but she's also at the same time kind of a life master. I mean, there's a lot of Zen people who are so fucking irritating.
I fly a lot
because they just use Zen as an excuse to be flaky and fuck up your day, right? Like, yeah. I bet she's a really considerate house guest. I bet there's probably a really good chance that she's not.
She would leave you a note and probably give you a nice little gift when she left your place.
Yeah, she probably does her own dishes and all that shit. It's just something about that because it's not like a shitty like marker thing. And also she's like, again, "Please, comma, wake me for snacks ampersand drinks." She used an ampersand. Exclamation point. "Thank you," exclamation point.
I like that you started off by saying letting and kerning, by the way. That shows off your...
But it's just like she used it. It's not... It's center justified. It's not left justified, but it's also not like shitty, like fucking like
can
block.
I see her?
Like,
can I see the photo?
I don't know that I have it.
Oh, okay,
I don't have it offhand. I just like...
No, I'll track it down.
But like 6 months from now, I'll go zap and it'll be on the thing. And America will be like, "Yay!" And then she'll be like, "You owe me money." And then we'll, and then CBS will be like, "We'd like to buy you." And then we'll be like, "Yay!" And they're like, "But you can't say anything bad about Jim Belushi."
What could you possibly say bad about Jim Belushi, except for the fact that he pissed in the olive jar at the craft service in front of his co-stars?
I overheard a guy at dinner tonight who was... I don't know if I can do this justice, but it was like there was a couple over at the other dinner table that we were eavesdropping on, and the guy was going like, he goes like, "No, it's extreme Pilates. You know, I've been doing Wonder Bar," or she goes like, "No, you know, I've been doing like Wonder Bar for about 3 years." And he goes like, "Well, yeah, but no, what you've been doing is this other thing." And he was like correcting her, and he's like, "Honey, I mean, I'm telling you what you were doing was sitting upright in bed doing all these things." And he's like explaining to her. And then he goes like, "I mean, now it's hard. I'm telling you now they have one down the street. And I mean, now it's hardcore. Now it's a legitimate workout. I mean, before it was gay." And then there was like a pause in it. And then I heard him very quietly. I was like, "Nah, I shouldn't say gay." And I was like, "Well, either you should, either you're fine. Like, I don't think anyone was gonna like come over to the table and go, 'Excuse me, that's really offensive.' You know what I mean? Because you sound super gay." It made me think. Like, is that when gay people?
Go on, Dan.
I forgot what they were.
Yeah, you're,
You're doing great. You're doing great.
Humans. Yes. When gay folk, I was trying. That pause was me trying to ask. Like, do I want to get specific gay men or? But when gay people, do they in conversations with loved ones and or each other, do they police each other on the use of gay to be a derogate to be like kind of like using it, you know? I don't know. It brought to me. And also like this guy, I also took that to mean, I was like, oh, this guy, he's straight, but like, boy, is he's got a, he's worrying about something he does not have to worry about. Like, cause he's like, ostensibly the reason you're like backpedaling on that is like, oh, I shouldn't say gay. Like the unspoken part of that is I shouldn't say that because someone
might get the wrong idea.
Someone walking around here might get offended. They might like, and it's like no one's gonna get offended. You sound gayer than the Statue of Liberty. Okay, like everyone would just be like, you're
one of the most famous gay icons.
Like Nathan Lane could be walking his seven chihuahuas by and hear, overhear you, and he'd say, way to take it back. You know, that's what it's like. You have nothing to worry about, sir. Man eating the arugula salad at Little Dom's.
Did you just out the Statue of Liberty?
Come on, she's, look at her. Come on.
She's always hanging out with a Staten Island fairy. Hello! Joke from 1983.
She's French. She's carrying a book.
Yeah.
She's holding a torch. For some fucking lady.
Yeah, for some chick. All right, so I think that's enough. That's enough of my business. Our guest tonight is a another podcasting hero. Like the reason I'm familiar with this podcast, I just became familiar with it, is because my girlfriend Cody, her mom, Randy, Mama LaRusso from Karate Kid.
His girlfriend's mom is the mom from Karate Kid. That's never gonna stop being the coolest fucking thing I've ever heard of.
She
also played
me,
Rizzo on Broadway and Grease. Yeah, she's a fucking.
But she'll always be Mama LaRusso to me. But she, like a lot of people actually, she was on Mad Men as the I can't remember the character's name, but she was just whatever. It doesn't matter. It's not about her.
You haven't even said hi to Spencer. You're gonna bring out a guest and you haven't even addressed Spencer over.
Yeah, him. don't. You know the tradition of addressing Spencer before you bring out the guest.
Yeah, it's bad luck.
It's a severe.
Spencer, how are you?
Oh, I'm so good, you guys.
I know, he's just using this as a time to pour himself a drink.
Oh, man.
Wow. Nimble as a mountain goat.
Oh.
It's in the way that she uses. Hey.
Oh.
That's a real weapon. Yeah, those.
Oh.
What is that? What is happening?
People are wielding things. It looks like a.
What are we looking at precisely here?
That is horrifying.
The longest sitting is still though.
Exactly.
Is it Eli Roth is here tonight with a prop from his next movie.
You want to try it?
No, come on, let's not devolve. No, don't.
Oh, no.
What is this? This is just.
Let's just keep it.
That's your scepter.
This is my scepter.
It's a weird. Made out of meth.
What is it made of?
It looks like it's wax. Like, is this wax?
Resin.
It's
an elm stick from Sedona, covered in wax from. My house.
Would you like to come up here?
Yes.
Just 1 second.
I've got scepter questions. What in the Joshua tree is going down? This is
the audience is in an uproar.
Okay,
can we
for the listener who's not live streaming this one? You're wearing is it a bathrobe? What do you have on?
I prefer to call it my prophetic mantle.
Prophetic mantle. Yes. That's what I prefer to call it from now on. I love that. And you have a smart satchel with you, kind of a tote.
A bit of a Masonic apron bag.
Okay. And you have Mork and Mindy headband on.
That's right. It says gay in the back.
It says gay in the back, and
but
business
in the front.
It's an election thing. I'm with her. Gay in the back, but voting lever in the front.
That's right.
What's your name?
Joey.
Joey.
Yep.
And you're from
Provo.
Utah.
Provo, Utah. Yeah. Yep.
Are you just visiting California?
Yes. I have my brother and his partner, spouse, and yeah, we're visiting.
Okay. Well, you guys all came together. You're not visiting them.
That's right.
We're from Utah. What are you doing? What else are you doing?
In Utah, I promote myself as the reincarnation of Joseph Smith.
which has a built-in audience there. And you just do but that didn't answer my so
no.
Is that what you're doing here? Are you kind of on a pilgrimage, missionary, or a mission?
Right. Well, so I was here on the 200th episode recording of your podcast, and it was amazing. And
Thank
I don't know.
You.
Yeah. It was after the show, so I don't know if you remember, but I actually gave you a hat that my brother and his spouse and I actually stenciled the name.
Ernest Hemingway?
That's right.
I have that in my closet.
Oh, yeah.
And I regularly look at it and go, what the fuck is this? Yes. I was just, Cody just and I were just looking at that. She said, it's cool. She was
right.
She was about to wear it and was like, don't wear that. What
no,
is
right.
that?
No. There's another hat for her. That's, yeah. But I also gave one to Spencer and it said, Waldo Pierce. And then you got one that said Ezra Pound.
Yes.
Yes. So I just, you had been talking
how
a lot.
How did we all forget you?
Most
only in Los Angeles.
Specific person in the world.
Got to work harder than this, folks. Good luck.
I'll do what I can.
I mean, I've run into so many guys wearing day coats that pretend to be Mormons. Prophets.
Well, the truth is he does kind of blend around here, and that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Yeah,
bad thing for your publicist, good thing for society.
Yeah, it definitely stands out in Provo, not so much in L.A.
What do you got in your Masonic satchel there? What do you have?
Well, this is a medic droid for my nephew.
Okay.
Is that what IG-88? What is it? When you say medic droid, that's the only one I remember.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, that's some new crap.
He's like a no-face. And...
I mean, I want to see some shamanic shit in there. I want to see, like, you have some sort of runestones or something. What the? Oh.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Put that away.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we also have our guest who must have the guest equivalent of blue balls right now. We can handle.
I think Joey can. You want to linger for a bit, Joey?
Sure. Yeah.
I like your style.
What happens?
Joey, you remind me of early Harmontown days when we kept just discovering. Like Levi's and like
right.
and people like we had BJ Avril and like we had these great cast of grooviness.
Well, I'm a Facebook friend of Earthshine Jane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking out of her glass right now.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And we're going to be interviewing her on our own podcast, The Pulpit, in a few days when
All
she
right.
visits
well,
Utah.
All right.
Now, when you say that you bill yourself as the reincarnation of Joseph Smith, is that for real? Like you actually go around like. Spreading the good word of
that's
the
That's very real, yes.
Yeah?
Well, so, and not to frustrate your extinguished guests any longer, but...
he is extinguished at this point. That's the problem, yeah.
But I do circulate the past lives of certain individuals. So you
three individuals were friends during the lifetime of Waldo Pierce, Ezra Pound, Ernest Hemingway, and were part of that lost generation that kind of, you know, went to France and had some fun, and you killed yourself. So,
spoilers.
That was happening. And you had wanted to know a lot about the simulation during the 200th episode. So that's why I went to kind of let you know how the data conservation works in this simulation, where we just recycle your...
Oh, we're just using... Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah. Like in video games, it's like, oh, that's clearly that other character with a hat.
That's right.
It's like, that makes sense. Of course... All right.
Joey, well, how many times have you been to Harmontown? Just twice now?
This is the second. All right. This is the second.
First time was he gave us
hats.
Warnings we did not heed.
Right.
But now he is back to wonder why.
Now he has a fantastical rainbow schlong stick, which is really good.
I'm pretty sure if you drop this, it turns into a snake. Right? a waxy, creepy snake. just to be clear, you said because you said this is a stick from
an
your home,
stick from Sedona.
Not from your home, Sedoma.
Sedona, Arizona.
Arizona.
Don't forget Sedona.
Land of sticks.
No, don't forget Winona.
and wax from your house.
That's right.
All right.
Wait. So you have your own wax supply at home?
I do.
All right. Well, so anyways, so this amazing podcast that we started listening to help put us to sleep, the conceit of the podcast is a sincere attempt to put you to sleep. It's for insomniacs, it claims on the surface, but it's endlessly entertaining as well. There's no wrong way to use it. He goes into all that stuff. It's very, very, very smart, amazing guy. Please listen to his podcast, Sleep With Me, if you haven't already after this. But let's get to know our new friend, Drew Ackerman. Oh, well, that's, okay, that's nice.
Thank you.
All right.
Good move.
Hello, Drew. Drew, meet Joey.
Hi.
Hey, what's up? Do you have any past life info on me?
I don't.
Do I want to know?
Tarot cards. I'll work on that.
Okay, great.
Shit.
Wait, I said you have shamanic shit. You're hiding tarot cards in your satchel? Are you gonna do a reading right now?
Well, no. I'll just be doing.
Do it.
Okay.
Do it.
Do a little background tarot on us, and whenever you feel like something significant pops up.
See ahead of
that. That's right.
Okay. All right. Right there on the floor. Okay. All right. Fine. And in the book, will you let me know when you already did let me know?
Yeah.
Does that mean she's here?
Yeah.
Oh, she's here. Okay. Well, she's on the schedule too.
Let's hear it for Drew. Thanks for coming, Drew.
Thank you.
Would you mind terribly?
Let's do this Halloween intervention right now.
Doing the because she I begged her to come down and she had food simmering on the stove. I just want to bring her out to go over a little kerfuffle we had in text. You remember our friend, my neighbor Beth Bootson.
Bootson. Boots and pants and 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 boots and pants.
All right. This show is a...
This show is a cavalcade of stars.
Yeah. Lay that staff across there. All right, Beth, thank you so much for coming down. I know it was you sped out of your house. I invited you last minute because I thought, well, geez, we had this thing. It was a flare-up. It was a neighborly flare-up.
We had an argument.
All right, and I'm scrolling back in our conversation. Okay, and it's easy because you marked it with that photo. All right, so Beth, as you know, she came on the show with her son Timmer, who was doing the haunted house, and then Timmer, the son, came on again last week
with Spooky One Direction.
Haunted
yes,
house
he came
is,
with his friends.
Going on.
Yes, yes.
So the following day, Monday, 10:11 a.m. I get. So, what do we want to do? Do we want to? do it. Last time we did, I read your parts and you read my parts, but maybe why don't we just.
You know what? I think it's actually based on all your language. Maybe it's better if you just read your own.
I'll read my own.
Beth, I can't see. Are you in a mic? You have a microphone?
Here, I'll do it right
now. Yeah,
right.
Eat that mic.
Okay, so I'm in there at Monday. So then this happened, and I'm just, you know, I don't want to take up too much of Beth's time, but I also didn't want to. I don't want to talk about this, and I don't even know what happened.
Well,
it's like so. I guess we just start. We can just start.
So, the last Sunday, my son and his friends came on, and his friends were wearing gas masks, and he came on to tell you about his haunted maze. So the next morning, I text Dan, and I said, "Hi, Dan. Last night we got a visit. We believe it was from one of your diehard fans. Whoever it was stole Tamora's apocalyptic wasteland banner off of our garage door."
And then she sends a picture of the banner.
Yeah, let me see if I can show.
Oh.
Now, what evidence did you have, Beth, at this point?
Yeah. So.
I'll handle this for a 45-minute fucking fight.
Yeah.
I have minor justice issues. Dan has huge justice issues. So let's see what goes down here.
I have medium justice issues. We're like the bears.
Yes.
Yes. And so then, I wrote.
Spencer, your justice issues are just right.
Right, yeah.
All right.
So I sent this to Dan, and then I said, "The price of knowing Dan Harmon." And I put a very surprised look of those little, what do you call them? Mochis.
Like. A sticker.
And then I wrote it again by accident, and I said, "Oops."
Okay, so.
And then I put, "Grr."
Yeah, say, this sounds like you had a little wine.
Well, then,
okay, these are wine texts.
All right. So then I said, "Why on earth would you assume an adult podcast listener would do something like that instead of a high school student?"
And then I wrote back. I said, "Why would a high school student even want it so bad that they would steal it? It has more value to the person who has something that's connected to you, a little piece of Dan Harmon."
That's a stretch.
Jesus.
"They know my house is next door. If they wanted a piece of me, they could take something from me. My audience is nice people."
"That it makes for a great story. We will put everything away in our garage now."
"They wouldn't be going to your haunted house to do anything but support you."
"Some of your fans are nice, normal people. Some of them are obsessed with Dan Harmon people."
That's true.
"Your fans are fascinated that we live next door to you. It's okay, I'm not mad at you. We'll just make a new one. How could we possibly know if it is a Dan Harmon fan? We just had a suspicion. The boys are already excited to make a new one, and they've got a great story."
"You may not be mad at me, but I can't think of a reason to share that suspicion with me other than to solicit feelings of guilt."
"Not to make you feel guilty. It's not your fault. It's more a story of interest. Don't you find it interesting?"
"Like, would you want me to express shame or remorse about this thing just because you have a weird theory connecting it to me? What if my dog got poisoned and I texted you saying I knew your friends did it? That would be really thoughtless of me, because if I respected you as a human being, I'd have to know laying something like that near you would cause you anxiety."
"It's funny. We're rather humored about it, flattered in a way."
"Saying you're humored and flattered that one of my fans stole your stuff is still saying one of my fans stole your stuff. It's weird to say that."
"We don't know if it was one of your fans. You don't know either."
So drunk. Like, you could smell the Chardonnay on these texts.
This is 10 a.m., though. I mean, no judgment.
Notwithstanding.
"We'll never really know. It's just a suspicion. We're not blaming you. It's just a possibility. We still love you, no matter what. Think how cool it would be to have the banner on one's wall and be able to say that it came from one of Dan Harmon's episodes. Maybe it was a prankster. Just was a coincidence. You don't have fans that are a little out there?"
Well, I do have a crazy neighbor that accuses strangers of stealing shit, but I don't know if she's a fan or not.
I didn't accuse you.
I said strangers.
I didn't accuse a stranger. I suspected. Don't really know. Thought it was a possibility. Thought it was a coincidence. Thought it was interesting.
It's a possibility that ISIS took it. You didn't text the president. And it wouldn't be coincidence if a random, unknown, unrelated person took something from a haunted house that was open to the public. It would be incidents. If I thought that someone would do that to you guys that respected my show, I'd be livid and embarrassed.
I have a neighbor sharing information with a neighbor who just happened to have an episode on his podcast relating to a neighbor's haunted maze. The very same night the banner goes missing. It's just a coincidence.
There's a cardboard sign on the street corner that says haunted house. Has nobody been coming other than podcast people? Do they have podcast logos on their foreheads? Is there a sign in sheet and all the people that came wrote Harmontown in the Who Sent You column?
You are livid. You take responsibility for all your fans? You know that none of them would ever do that? You know that none of them would even consider that? Do you consider them your children? Have I offended you because I said it is a possibility that one of your fans may have taken it?
Yes! You have. It's an offensive thing to do. Look up the word offense.
I did not accuse you. This is not about you. Why are you taking this so personally? This has nothing to do with you. I'm not blaming you.
Then why did you text me about it?
Because I had suspicions that it could possibly be one of your fans.
So it has something to do with me.
No, it doesn't.
So you expected me to laugh and say, ha ha, that's funny that someone in my podcast audience stole your property.
You joked about 2 episodes ago that you were afraid that if you gave our address away, that everyone would know whereabouts you live and that you would come home to find a stranger in your kitchen.
I would be upset for you if that happened. I wouldn't consider it a normal human response to be amused by Timmer's property being stolen, even if it was by a complete random person. I would just say, oh, that's too bad. I wouldn't say, ha ha, that's funny. So imagine how much weirder it would be to say ha ha to someone stealing Timmer's stuff if it wasn't a complete random person, but was someone somehow doing it because of my show. The normal human response to the idea of that would be for me to say, oh God, that's fucking awful. I can't believe someone did that. I'm so sorry.
I didn't expect you to laugh. I didn't expect you to get mad, though. I was making a joke. You didn't find it funny? But it really was an attempt of light humor that was taken very seriously. Sorry. Thank you for being such a cool neighbor.
You take the high road and I'll take the low road and I'll be in Scotland before you.
People always want to hear about what it's like to live next to Dan Harmon. A peek into him.
Well, your joke was that your son had to pay a price for living next door to me. And that would be something that I would feel terrible about. And you kind of committed to the joke to the point of arguing for a really long time that we should definitely assume someone that listens to the show did it. It wasn't very clear, and still isn't, which part is the joke. Do you still honestly believe it's more likely that someone from my audience did it and the joke was that it mattered at all? Or was the joke that you suspected it was someone from the audience and you just have a very strong commitment to humor?
Dan, can we take that one again, but faster this time?
Oh, Dan, it was a stupid joke.
I'm not that mad.
Sent with balloons.
But I have to fixate on my writing now. I'm way past a morning deadline and getting yelled at.
Please forgive me.
I forgive you, nutty pants.
No harm intended.
Hashtag neighbors for life.
That's a good ending. Yeah.
I like the new hashtag #Harmontended.
And then I sent him an emoji that is the emoji where the guy's eyes are googling like this and there's the crazy guy. No, I'm not saying that you're nuts. I said, well, maybe just a little.
All right. Well, I guess it's all right. So is there you have the pulpit. Do you still think that
we can still be friends?
Well, do you still think one of my fans took your tarp?
I took the fucking tarp. It's in my car.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid to say, Dan.
I used to steal anything that wasn't nailed down. It's got to be a teenager unrelated to the show.
This had black Gorilla tape that it was taped all to the garage.
Right.
And it was very, very, it looked like a little kid that had taped it to the garage. And it was big, and I just think it's kind of a really, really weird coincidence that that the night that don't get mad all
I'm
over again.
I'm trying to get mad.
Let me ask you guys, because you're his fans, is it a strong coincidence? That it could be. I'm not saying it's you. I'm not saying it's you. I'm sure most of you are very normal, nice people.
I'm sure some of you are nice people, but a lot of you are bringing crime.
Yes.
A lot of you are rapists.
A possibility.
I'm sure some of you are nice. Some of you are stealing signs.
Is it a possibility that one of you could have driven to our house because we live next door to Dan Harmon?
I think it's as likely that you stole this sign yourself so you could get back on the show.
In a world where anything's possible, there's no need to focus in on the possibility.
I think it's very, very coincidental that the next morning that, you know, we had that episode the night before. But nobody
would
have stolen.
So was this Monday night that this happened?
When we went outside Monday morning.
Okay.
Monday morning.
So it would have to be.
So they would have had to be here in the room.
Or a live streaming person that
was nearby.
That somebody, you know, whatever it was, somebody, one of you, one of you.
Yeah.
Sure. God.
Just so
all right.
Clear.
Well, we'll continue to. I mean, I've
come forward now.
we'll lower the lights and turn our backs. And if you took the apocalypse sign, put it down.
You give them a chance to turn themselves in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if someone return, you can
just bring it to Nerd Mount.
Right. Yeah. Bring it here and drop it off.
Yeah. Here's a way to do it. If you return the sign and you were a Harmontown fan, meaning you're listening to this right now, and you did take it,
which is really cool if you did.
Yeah.
That's like really then, like, awesome.
It's a very, very cool banner to hang on a wall.
Beth Boots
and somebody could say,
Beth, would you put $100 bounty on that if someone could prove that they were a Harmontown fan? Would you pay $100 to get that sign back?
Would I pay $100?
Yes, to prove yourself right.
You know what? I think Dan Harmon.
Whoa!
Oh!
Would pay $100.
But then if you took it, you can just make $100.
No, I would not. I didn't take it.
Well, I didn't take it either.
But Dan Harmon, I think.
You both have to. You have to match Dan's $100. You both have to put $100. 200 clams if you're a Harmonian that stole that sign.
Wait.
You, Beth, are.
Wait.
You're
no,
putting
no,
up $100.
But I would be right. So.
Right, you'd be right.
I would be right.
But it would cost you 100 simoleons.
No, you would be wrong.
Right, I'd be wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the penalty for being wrong is that you have to pay $100.
Right. So what we're saying is,
if you're a Harmontown person, then you would pay
$100. Well, let me up the ante.
Okay.
Let me up the ante.
Physical challenge.
If we were to get that
it's gonna get
the banner back,
mm-hmm.
You have to pay the $100 and then autograph it for the person. And then it would be worth even more.
Hang it on their wall. Beth, you stole the banner. You just won. This is the fucking longest con I've ever seen.
Are you sick of the haunted house?
This is like the Sting.
Are you acting out against the haunted house?
No, I'm.
Robert Redford's about to come out.
I think this is a funny story, and wouldn't it be interesting to find out who's right?
Right, but we won't be able to. What we only thing we really can do is say, if somebody gives it back anonymously, we can. We'll still won't be able to reach the conclusion, you know, automatically that a Harmontown fan took it. However, that person has the whoever took it has the power to make it look that way, and we're opening ourselves up and saying even. Like, fine. If that person does that, would you be willing to pay any money for that?
Well, no,
that?
No. Let's look at if it gets returned, I think Dan Harmon should autograph it, and we can hang it here on the wall.
Oh, boy.
And
can I make a pitch?
May I
make a pitch? I think anyone listening to this right now should go to that haunted maze, steal anything you want. Dan Harmon will autograph it for you.
Well, I'll make you this deal now.
Let's just go rob this fucking
place. Starting with
free Harmon autograph.
This show, anything that gets stolen is kind of this podcast's fault. Because
I'm saying Harmonians listening don't have the guts to go steal shit from the Bootson family.
We're putting everything in our garage now.
But anyways, all right. Well, so you
just wait. Is it possible if you think of a scenario in which there's someone who is so driven by his obsession with Dan that he wants to steal
or she?
Why do you think that person would go to you and not go to Dan's house and steal for something from Dan's
because
house?
Because it was the night of our episode.
But that's backwards.
And the way
like,
they look at it,
backwards.
It's a really really cool banner. They could hang it on their wall.
That's like
and.
That applies to anybody.
No, it applies to only Dan Harmon fans. One of them. Uh-huh. Who would be cool to like, wouldn't this be cool because I took it and it was related to Dan Harmon because it was about the episode about haunted
right.
mazes.
Well, I feel like in this Gamera versus Mothra conflict that we have, like you with the eucalyptus tree thing, it was like, okay, I'm the bad person. I feel
your
I'm
tree's
confident.
Fine, by the
you're
way.
You're the bad person in this case.
It survived those winds.
Oh yeah, but you don't know. You could be a diseased all... eucalyptus tree and survive a million winds.
Nah,
those trees are gone.
Yeah. I do want to acknowledge. Like, I texted you. And said, will you come down and read this shit? And that's like, you had soup on the stove and you were in your pajamas and you came down here.
I'm still
split.
Wearing my pajama top.
thank you so much. And we're going to, let's hear it for Beth Bootson.
Beth Bootson.
Well,
don't forget to stop by the Haunted Maze. Just
and
take every goddamn thing you can get your hands on. I don't want to see a thing standing there.
And if you bring back that
tarp,
yeah, the banner, Dan Harmon said he would sign it.
Sure.
And
sure.
Give you $100. So.
Okay. All right.
And if you don't bring it back, Jeff will give you $100.
Yes. But I'm going to sign Beth Bootson.
All right. Beth
Bootson!
And the unsung hero of the Beth Bootson Chronicles, her husband Dan, who I think drove her down here last minute, probably back there too. We've never even really met him.
Thank you, Dan.
He was out here once.
But he never spoke. He just sat there in blissful silence.
The long-suffering Bootson husband, they call him on the block, behind Beth's back. That's what we all call him. Oh, the long-suffering Bootson husband.
Again, let's say goodbye to Drew Ackerman. Thanks for coming up, Drew.
Thank you. See you. All right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
All right, Drew.
Jesus, this poor guy.
I am so sorry.
That was awesome.
Okay. It was a timely thing. It wasn't, though. I'm a bad podcaster.
You're just being respectful of her time.
So your podcast conceit, which is sincere, which I have to say, like, also doubles as like genius comedy. I mean, it something about you that kind of in a sublime way rises above the dichotomy of is he doing a bit or is he for real? You're kind of both. You know how funny it is that you're for real about the fact that your dulcet tones, your way of speaking, you have resigned yourself instead of. In a world where everyone's trying to distinguish themselves and entertain, you were like, you know what? Come to me when you want to go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I think it's, even as a person that makes it, like, I look at it like, oh, I'm putting all this work into something that no one listens, and I'm, like, a really anxious, obsessive person, so I'm constantly worrying about it, like, oh, this isn't good enough, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, holy shit, like, if someone, like an outsider, was watching this, they'd be like, dude, you're insane. Like, and some listeners even emailed me, they're like, why don't you just read from the phone book? Why do you spend so much time working on it? Like, and I'm like, well, I'm convinced that's what puts you to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was an article in the New Yorker about you, about your podcast that talked about that insomnia is not something that people have conquered. It's a lot like the common cold. People think it's so simple, but it persists because doctors can't really get around it. Because anything a doctor would prescribe to you, it becomes part of this labyrinth of anxiety that keeps people awake. You yourself suffer from insomnia, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, the podcast, it was funny because last Sunday you were kind of talking about Sunday nights and you were having a shitty night and you're like, oh, like, and for me, that's where the podcast came out of, was like, I had the terrible time at school. And I would, like, when Sundays were coming, I would not be able to sleep, and I'd be, like, all worried. And I was like, oh, I told my parents, and they're like, drink some milk or, like, whatever, you know, whatever. Like. And I'm like, no, you don't understand that. Like, spend the whole night worrying and moving. And they're like, oh, that. And then I started listening to Dr. Demento, like, which was, like Weird Al and stuff. And it didn't never put me to sleep, but it, like, took my mind off of, like, lying there and worrying and thinking about going to school the next day and getting in trouble and stuff. And yeah, I don't think like pills can work for some people. Like, there's different things that work for different people, but I think like a lot of people want a bedtime story. And
yeah.
It's gotta be boring.
Now, what do you do exactly? What makes you think that you're so narcotic that you can put people to sleep by talking? Like, what is it about you that? Is it verifiable that people have said thank you? You knock me right out.
Yeah, and your sponsors are mattresses and stuff. I think you have about as many listeners, maybe more than us. I mean, he's very humble and self-effacing.
New Yorker never wrote shit about Harmontown.
But the New Yorker piece on you, which was June 2016, but I copied and pasted this. It said the ideal bedtime story, according to Nitin Verma, a national spokesperson for the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. So the ideal bedtime story is one that doesn't build upon itself, like a movie with a lot of parallel stories that don't connect at the end, which I thought was kind of interesting. Like the children's books that our parents would sit with us, they do have a kind of like meandering quality. They don't exactly like, they're not diehard. They don't like,
yeah, yeah.
So like the longer you're listening, the bigger the build is. Oh my God, Hans Gruber's going to get it. It's like, oh, right.
Mother would always read Beowulf to me right before I
But you, when you first started doing the podcast, how many episodes have you done? Because you do about three a week.
Yeah, like I've done like 450, like more than 450.
How long have you been at it? Since
like
what?
Like 3 years, so.
So he's been doing it as less time than we've been doing this podcast and has twice, well, this, of course, the math would work out, Dan. Yeah. If you stacked his podcasts on top of ours, there'd be three times as many. because he does them 3 times a week. If the moon was 1 from the Earth, he'd have hit it 3 times. Thanks, Dan. Did you originally start doing it? I didn't like go back to the beginning. Did you start trying to just straight up tell bedtime stories?
I was curious. Like, I was like, man, like, I don't know. I liked listening to podcasts and comedy podcasts and stuff. And I was like, man, why? And this isn't like a knock on like guided meditations or nature sounds, but it was always like something that like, I'm an irritable person. So it would irritate me, or the nature noises would get, I'd be like, wow. And I was like, why isn't there something that's a little bit weird, but that has a bedtime story?
There's also like a factor, because you're such a smart, funny guy. The thing is, like, I'm sure those tapes, like the people that tend to delve into that area, they don't have, like, God bless them, but they're not. Like, there's funny things that can happen that they don't acknowledge. Like,
yeah, they're not lying there, like, thinking about, like, where are the bugs crawling around? Like, where the hell is this rain?
Like Shrab, my partner Shrab, partner, friend, but he's a friend now at this point.
It's more of a, he's the kind of a common
a life husband. Partner. He tried to do, like, he had a therapist that would make his own tape. He would give him tapes and sell them to him. This just happens at this point in the show. Don't worry about it. But one of the things I remember Shrab describing to me, oh, yeah, I'm listening to this tape, and this guy's, like, talking to me about, you know, you're going to be less intimidated in public. You're going to – he's issuing these commands. But then, like, clearly, like, a screen door opens, and some woman comes home with groceries, and, there's these random sounds that happen. People that put themselves in charge of your spirit and your essence, like, the danger there is that the drawstring is pulled so – drawstring? The bowstring is drawn so tight that the slightest bit of humanity, like shoots an arrow across the room is very distracting. You're – from the outset, the first episode that I listened to you do, you just had decided that you wanted to talk about – well, you didn't decide. You talked about crackers for 30 minutes. 30 hardcore, like crack, like just your the labyrinth of your mind.
See, I don't think I would fall asleep to that. I think I'd want to know.
No,
all about
there's a lot to think about. Like, you got, like, isn't there a cracker industry? I mean, that's what I was thinking about. Like, you got the green box crackers, you got the red box crackers, like. What other ones are there?
You have a whole national biscuit company. Crackers. You got the Nabisco.
Yeah,
yeah.
But what?
Trump's followers.
I was. It brought me to the edge of my consciousness listening to the cracker thing, and then what you really got into was that you'd become obsessed with Rick Moranis, and you wanted to talk, and I would drift in and out of consciousness, and when I would drift back into consciousness, you were still in what apparently was a fantasy improv that was a conversation between you and Rick Moranis, just for what seems like it's 6 hours. The podcasts are about 2 hours long, but it seems like that's the beautiful thing, is like we use ocean waves and howler monkeys and things.
Now, Drew, for somebody who I don't suffer from insomnia, I sleep pretty well. Is this something that would put anyone to sleep, or is it a certain mindset that goes into this singing, like, I need this particularly to knock me out?
Like, you would know pretty quick. Like, the people that it won't put to sleep hate me. Like, and then they, like, email me. They're like, oh, I fucking hate your voice. Oh, like, so it's, like, pretty, like, because it is, like Dan was saying, like, some people, certain things work for. They, like, want to be led on this journey to find the magical box within their soul or whatever, but that's just not me. Like, I want something that's goofy.
Do you ever slip in any weird subliminal stuff? Like, just like.
I've tried, like, I tried a few times, yeah. Like, and no one, like, the sad thing was no one emailed me. Like, I was like, okay, my little ninjas. Like, I was pretending I was giving, like, a seminar on profiting from boredom or something. And then I was like, okay, now you're going to kill it. You know, I didn't say kill, right. Though.
Like, how did you describe yourself when you were in the episode you just did, that if people listen right now to the latest episode, you talk about you're nervous coming on the podcast and you try to do my story circle model with the thing. It makes me feel like I ruined your podcast because you're talking about my bullshit all night. And it's it was also brilliant. I mean,
sure lots of people fell asleep to that, Dan.
Yeah. I don't flatter myself that way. But you taught in that episode, you said, you're explaining each week, each podcast episode, you're explaining to people who might be new, you're going like, you're telling them how to categorize you. And this episode, you said something like, I'm just that friend of yours that, you think, I'm your friend that you're allowed to think is a doofus. What did you say?
Like, something like that. Like, I mean, that's like kind of the conceit of the podcast is like, I mean, via podcast, like I'm coming over to your house, but you have no commitment to like listen to me or humor me or offer me a drink. I mean, like almost like a super stoned person that won't stop talking, but instead of like getting on your nerves, you're like, oh, I'm just gonna lie here and fall asleep, and they're right. Like, totally, I don't care at all. Like, that's a yeah. Let me tell you about the time I showed up at Rick Moranis' house and tried to pitch him to get back. You know,
I might have mentioned this a long time ago in Harmontown, but I was on a flight, and Alec Baldwin, this is a long time ago, like pre 30 Rock, was sitting across the aisle from me, and he was sitting next to a woman who I don't think he knew, and I had the Bose like noise canceling headset on. So I could just barely hear him. And it was the greatest thing to fall asleep to. He was like, when I was six, I had this dog. This dog ran away. And he told the story about this dog that ran away. I was like, I just drifted beautifully off the sleep. Like, I want Alec Baldwin just to come over and just lay next to me and whisper.
Yeah, like I'm like kind of like the boring, crappy version of Alec Baldwin.
but
like also weirder. And I try to stay calm. I think that's another thing about the podcast is like I tend to be really anxious and spastic, but like to do the show, I've got to be like, I got to calm down and be like, well, one, I can't believe Mrs. LaRusso listens to my freaking podcast. So, but the, like even this would be like, okay, there was just a woman on stage, and it's clear to me she's so sick of her son's haunted house that she's trying to set up Dan. And I was pitching her one night, and she came out of the house. She checked Timor's door to see if Timor was asleep. You know, when you think about Timor, you're like, what does he have on his walls? Like, what posters does he have? And and then I think about myself, and I'm like, man, like, I wish I didn't have that. I could have never made a haunted house. Like, I think I started making. So that's kind of the podcast.
So it's all. It's all free association. Do you prepare anything, or just totally riff and just go with the flow?
So I do one free association one every week. Then I do one like that's like soft scripted, like outlined with dialogue. And then I do one on like TV shows. So right now I've been watching like there's a Colombian version of Breaking Bad. It's called Metastasis, and it's like it's awesome. It's like a shot for shot remake, well, almost shot for shot. So. And this is how ill I am. It's called Metastasis. It's
like tumors.
Yeah, because Walter White.
I never saw it, sorry. One day.
They have to focus more on the cancer than the drugs in the in this version because it's not. Some things are more shocking than others.
But yeah, like so I'll watch the Colombian version of Breaking Bad, then I'll watch Breaking Bad, I'll take a ton of notes, and then I'll just be like... it's Walter Blanco, so I'll be like, Walter Blanco.
Blanco.
But they left Walter.
And Saul Bueno.
Saul Bueno.
Yeah. It is really good. Like, the acting, it's not like a joke. Like, it made me appreciate Breaking Bad so
much
more.
What is it that draws you to it? Because you said you're actually kind of teaching yourself Spanish or brushing up on your Spanish with it? Or?
I've watched 61 episodes. I probably like twice, and I probably like still know the same words when I failed out of Spanish in high school.
But what is drawing you to that? Because when I hear about that, I think, okay, I'd like to watch a 5-minute clip of that. But you're hooked on a thing that you already know the story, and
he said he's a bit obsessive about your.
Yeah, I think it's like it's like from making anything every single week. It's like I got to watch it every week. So like people are like, oh, why don't you do something like the Smurfs or something, and I'm like, well, I'd lose my mind. Like, I could watch 2 weeks of the Smurfs, but Breaking Bad is a great show, and then it's just interesting watching like a kind of Colombian interpretation.
Right, so it's always giving you something to because it's lateral. I think I get that now. So correct me if I'm wrong. This is maybe something that you wouldn't do at all if you didn't have this podcast to contend with.
Exactly,
you're actually using it to like kind of charge a battery.
Yeah, because like you know when you like you're watching something and then you like kind of like start playing around on your phone or whatever. Like this, like I have to be engaged, and I don't know. I guess like because it's like pointlessly challenging. I don't know, but what about that drives me? But it's like almost like I was like I'm not gonna watch 62. I'm gonna watch 62 episodes of this Colombian Breaking Bad. But then it's like I have to find material in it, so it's like I'm mining it. I'm watching their shirts and stuff, and I'm like, "Oh, that's boring. I could talk about a shirt for 8 minutes. Like, no problem."
So we've got a mind capable of that, and we've got somebody who also in the episode, not to spoil it, but you almost inexplicably focus in you trying to decode my story model. You choose to use this amazing song from A Chorus Line, the musical. Why is that your favorite song? Which song? I Feel Nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like just because...
Or just
every
nothing.
Day,
I'm sorry,
for
nothing.
A week, I would try. Yeah, it's a good song.
Well, like, it just, like... I think, like, it goes back to, like, why do certain people can't sleep? Like, overthinking people or people that obsess about stuff. And it's, like, that song does have some truth in it. And then it has this like feeling for me. It's like, oh wait, I'm dead inside. Right. Like so like I'm like when I hear the song, I think about that. Like, and I like it better because I'm like, okay, she's singing about this surface thing, and then there's this whole other thing going on within the story of the song, and then there's like the truth behind it, like
right,
like just whatever happened out here on the stage with the freaking haunted house. It's like, yeah. Like you could start to unpack that. It's like. And I mean the fact that you text with your neighbor, that's great.
she texts with me, and I respond every time. I said no, don't be sad. It's she'll be fine.
She'll be back next week.
But I'm so intrigued by that because I just
Dan,
you know,
real quick. This might be pricky of me to say this. How much 0 to 100%? Do you think that she engaged you in that text conversation because she thought it might parlay into being back up here?
I think
0%.
I think 0% at the beginning, and then 10% all the way through, just like me. I don't know.
I don't mean that to disparage her in any way. I was like, but like, is there a part of her like does she love being up here so much that like she engages with you?
Think, you know, let's not be addicted to dichotomy. I mean, what are we learning with this election? Like if we follow the path of good person, bad person long enough, we're gonna end up in a fucking desert where we're gonna lose our fucking minds. Because like the truth is, like, we're all just different kinds of people, and is she a good neighbor? Is she a bad neighbor? Am I a bad neighbor? Am I a bad person? Like, should I let more light into my life? Should I read her screenplay? Is she an attention whore? Is fame bad? Is everything? It's like these questions. My epiphany lately in therapy and just in thinking about it and driving to work with Spencer every day is just like dichotomy is like a crutch. Like dichotomy is. Laziness is ideological laziness. Like we've talked about this. Like the idea that it's things are one thing or the other is kind of like it's an addiction and it's a comfort zone and it's like who knows? You know, like yeah.
I'm not saying that it's binary that she is all one or all the other. But like,
I'm not trying to high road you. Also, that sounds like I sound like I'm a little high flown saying that in answer to your thing. But I also just like I'm like. Yeah, look, I don't know. She's my neighbor, Beth. Like she's like a character. I don't know. Yeah. You know,
Joey. Let's check back in with you. Did you get your tarot cards?
Joey.
Oh shit! What card is that?
Because Joey, to his credit, has sat there in graveyard silence the entire time and just totally digging it.
I'm very excited to be here.
Oh shit!
I love you, Joey.
So this is for you. You are the King of Cups. I don't know the individual's name, but if anyone could find out who was the first person to use ether to anesthetize therapeutically, That is who his past life was.
Isn't Dan the King of Cups?
I'm in the Knight of Cups.
Oh.
That's like my favorite Bugs Bunny routine, too, so the ether one. So.
No, wait, you're saying that he's the reincarnation of the person that first used ether to anesthetize.
That's right.
Really? Didn't that guy cut his leg
open? How does that come to you? Is that some sort of divinic thing that happens?
Let's see.
Oh, we have a Google search.
Perfect.
God, our fans are awesome.
Okay.
They would never steal a sign.
So,
sorry, yeah, you know, but... You know, I don't mean to kiss your ass, but you did notice in that text conversation I was kind of sticking up for you guys.
Human teeth and chloroform.
Yes.
Human. Human teeth and chloroform.
It says that William Thomas Green Morton, who lived from August 9th, 1819 to July 15th, 1868, was an American dentist who first publicly demonstrated the use of inhaled ether as a surgical anesthetic.
How'd he die?
1846.
He died on an ether bench.
I think he went on ether and cut his leg open and bled to death.
Oh, really?
That's why I asked. Maybe that's chloroform.
That's my favorite scene in Fear and Loathing in the book by Hunter S. Thompson, where he just pours ether on the floorboard of his car in the convertible, so it just wafts up as they're driving, and he goes into Circus and loses his fucking shit. That's
right.
How you do it.
Well, sorry. So back diving into...
It's the most wonderful time of the day when the planes are all falling and buildings are... Don't fucking do that. You cheer for 9/11 every week.
When that song on paper, I'm only familiar with the movie, the lyrics to that song on paper make me think that is the story of somebody who is realizing that the dichotomy of feeling versus not feeling is a flawed dichotomy, and that she is escaping it and realizing that she can cry in the end. Like, what makes her cry is the fact that she is numb. What makes her cry is her alienation. It's like that is not foreign to me, and I felt like you were kind of... Like,
yeah, that song is the idea that, like, don't tell me to lie. Like, don't tell me that I know what I'm an ice cream cone. Like if you make me pretend to be an ice cream cone, I feel nothing. And then when he died, she feels nothing.
Yeah.
But also she feels nothing so passionately that maybe we need new language for feeling versus not feeling. And that you don't want to rely on, you either know what an ice cream cone feels like or you're not empathic.
Are we talking about My Girl? What is this?
Chorus Line.
Oh, Chorus Line.
Yeah, yeah.
Because on stage, I was with Greg Proops on stage last night, and I said a line in a dumb game, and I said, who am I anyway? Am I my resume? And Greg said, am I a picture of a person I don't know? And there's one girl in the balcony who was like, wow! Because she was probably just in a Chorus Line or loves that movie. But like those songs are really dark and really great.
So have you, Drew, felt throughout your life intellectually rattling and emotionally numb? Does that lead to insomnia? Does that lead to a connection with people who are, as you say, joining you across the deep dark? Like, talk about your relationship with the universe. Do you think people are bad? Do you hate everybody? Do you not, like, do you look at them as like, I won't give you options. You just go.
But yeah, I think it's my interest in doing the podcast came out of this like miserable thing. Like when I couldn't sleep and I'd be thinking about going to school, and like I went to Catholic school, and like me and the nuns did not get along. Like they just fucking hated me. And like I think I had like undiagnosed dyslexia or something. And they were like, oh no, you're just lazy. Like they're like, you have the ability to do the work, but you choose not to. So then I like internalized that, whatever. It's like, okay, so it's you versus me. Like, all right. So now I know the kind of deal, like a little bit of a dichotomy. Cause I was like a kid, like these authority figures are out to get me and I'm this kid. And I think that just led to me trying to figure stuff out at night. Like I'd be lying there thinking, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? Like,
And I think I still did that. I was like, well, am I going to be a good guest when I go on Harm Town? What am I going to do? Like, and there's like, oh, let me read some more about Dan. There's a part of, like, there's another thing that's like, oh, whoa, man, calm down. Like, and I don't have like total access to that whenever, except when I do the podcast. But it's like, oh yeah, those nuns, like some super mellow part. Like, dude, I might have to recruit you as like my, like, sit on my shoulder or something. Like, to be like, oh, you know what? Like, and I think it's like the truth, like in the song too, is like that she's like in this situation, like she gets into this performing arts school. And it's like, oh, this is it. This is, I'm going to make it now. Like, and this is like this teacher, Mr. Karp, who's a dick, spoiler. And he teaches the improv class or whatever, where she's supposed to feel all this stuff.
I'm going to make it now, not to interject, but because the idea of getting accepted to a school, that comes from a place of, oh, well, these people need to be pleased. And once they're pleased, you're fucking set. You're going to Hogwarts. You're going to be a wizard.
Yeah.
And but then no, you, so anyways.
Yeah, like, and I don't know, like I was also trying to get inside your head. Like, I was like, oh man, like once I started reading about how you think about story and stuff, I don't know, those things just feel like puzzles a little bit or something. Like, and it just draws me, and like stuff that's like, okay, this isn't just about an entertaining story, like. Just like not being able to sleep, or like that scientists don't understand sleep. It's like, just like Rick and Morty, like there's way more there than you see on the first one or two watch throughs. It's like there's something going on below the surface, and that's what people connect to. And like in this song, what I connected to is like, she's like, shit, I don't care that he died. Like, I'm in full acceptance that I feel nothing. I don't know.
Also, but the day that you say, I don't care that this person died. Yeah.
Well,
that can be an incredibly fucking.
But Mr. Karp, like the teacher in that is telling all these students, pretend that you're cold, and pretend that you're hot, and pretend that you're this, and everyone else is doing it, and she thinks they're all lying. She's like, I think it's all bullshit. And she, when this guy that she was a professional bullshit artist dies, like. It doesn't mean anything to her. Her identity had nothing to do with these weird tasks that she was asked to do.
Yeah, I took it as like empowering too. Like she didn't do this, but like that she slammed the coffin and she's like, now I'm an actor. Carp, fuck off. Like,
well, if you think of the job of acting is a psychotic job, whether it's an audience or cameras that are staring at you, you have to be equally conscious of the fact that you are faking something as you are. Because if you really believed you were an ice cream cone, you'd turn your back to the audience for the entire show. You wouldn't hit your marks. You wouldn't remember your ice cream lines. There's all kinds of reasons why you also simultaneously, in order to be so immersed in all this stuff, you also have to be so hyper conscious of like where your head is, or even more so with the cameras instead of the audience. But that's the interesting thing I think about that, the lyrics of that song, is that it seems like it's a writer exploring actually just kind of just two different acting schools and how they kind of crisscross their dichotomies, like can bisect each other to the point where you go, oh yeah, okay, so you have to pick one that you're happy with, because hers turns out to be, you know what, I'm the person that's capable of forgetting what the fuck anybody thinks. And that could lead to really good acting, because my calluses, my barrier that I have around myself, whether I like it or not, like will allow me to plow through a terrible showing of Speed the Plow, like it, even though there's three people in the audience and like a person from I don't know why I'm going into her biography of like a weird timeline, but I'm just saying like there's different kinds of good actors, and she's confident at the time of singing that song and what
now, Drew, do you said you had trouble sleeping yourself, right? You have anxiety and that keeps you up.
Yeah.
Does you doing this podcast kind of busy up your day and occupy a part of your mind that allows you to rest, or do you still go to sleep with the same trouble that you're trying to assuage in other people?
I think it makes me more aware, and I think like the thing about the podcast is like, oh, that I'm not the only person like suffering from that. Like so, I mean, that's like the main message I want to get in the across in the podcast is like, okay, I'm not going to come to your house and read you a story or
to steal your tarp.
Like, yeah. I wrap myself in the tarp. But like that, like not being able to sleep sucks. And like, since I can relate to that, like, I may not understand what other people are going through that can't sleep, but like,
but
that,
you've had people say to you that this really helps.
Yeah,
that must feel great.
I'm dead inside though, so it's kind of.
Oh, you feel nothing. You feel nothing.
But it's almost like if you look at your emotional connection to them as like water, then this would be like infusing it with like a fruit flavor.
Oh yeah, like fruit flavored water.
Like
with a little fruit.
It's
in
almost
there?
Like a. It sounds like you're talking.
Sounds
about,
like a dream.
It sounds like you're talking about hint water.
Oh.
Oh shit! That's something I have experience with personally. I had the apple flavored one.
You did?
Oh yeah. No, it was great.
Spencer, tell me about your personal experience with hand water apple flavor.
I had the apple flavored one. No, seriously, it was great. I had it. They sent it to us. It tasted like apples. Oh boy, I had it. I had a watermelon one. Tastes like watermelons. Real fruit flavor, not this, you know, fake preservative unnatural flavor stuff.
It's
real
not like
fruit
water
flavor.
That's had like some syrupy goo added to it. It's
no, it tastes like it. That's actually the cool part. And this is a real advertisement because I'm trying to convince you guys of something. But it actually is cool that it's like a fruit flavored beverage that's not. It's not overbearing in any way. It is exactly as refreshing as water, but just has the a lot of fruit.
Wasn't it? Spencer, I
don't want to come off like I'm reading the highlighted portions of this piece of paper that I have here. But Spencer, it sounds like you just ad-libbed the intro with the personalized story that will resonate with our audience.
And I will add to that.
I'd agree.
When I tasted the hint water, I had got the distinct impression that it was invented by a woman that had just had her fourth child.
You're talking about Kara Golden.
Kara Golden. Yeah,
you're
yeah,
talking
of course.
About Kara Golden, and not because I'm reading this off of the paper.
No, because she's the hint water
I'm
person.
I'm personally invested in her story.
Not yeah. because they highlighted.
No, we all did.
Everything you have to say, and then it said the following points, and it includes her entire biography of having four children, and then
she got sick of diet soda because it didn't have that crisp, refreshing water taste I was telling you about in that great intro.
She was bored. She was bored with the liquids in her life.
Water is boring, Nan. Water is boring, but what are my options?
Hint water. That's the whole point of what
that
we're
mic,
doing.
Jeff, eat that mic.
Hint water.
Jeff. Wait, Jeff, you're not on mic. You're off mic.
Where can I get hint water? Where can I get some of this water? Shit.
Where can you get it? Oh. Well, it's funny you should ask Joey, the reincarnation
the
of Joseph Smith. You can get a single variety pack shipped directly to your door, including three bottles of each of hint water's four most popular flavors. Want to guess what the four most popular flavors are?
Pregnancy, Diet Coke. escape from no apple's
one crisp apple watermelon
oh watermelon's
pineapple and blackberry normally $24 only $15 if you go to drink.com/Harmontown I'm done with that
drink.com
no drink hint drink hint.com/Harmontown
drinkhint.com
yes
slash Harmontown
slash
no
gay male ball worship. Secret code. Hey, secret code.
Secret code.
That'll get you an extra watermelon thrown in. But it's
gay in the front, it's business in the back.
It's if you're bored with water.
I mean, who isn't?
And
everybody.
And,
water.
You know, very
I mean,
soon.
Yeah, we get it. You've got two hydrogens and one oxygen or whatever. It's like, yawn.
Where's the fruit?
Where's the fruit, water?
Exactly.
Scientists argue that we will not be bored with water within 10 years, that it will be a very exciting commodity. Yeah. We'll be happy to see it when we see it. But until then, bide your
Scientists
time.
Scientists are working right now to find other planets that not only have liquid water, but have liquid water
infused
with flavor.
With fruit.
Infused with fruit. Because we found there's so many planets right now that probably are in the Goldilocks zone where there would be liquid water, but we think because we live in such an infinite galaxy and universe,
we can hold
that
out.
Some of them are gonna be blackberry flavored.
And they have actually found a lot of planets with a flavored water, but they all contain preservatives or sugar.
Yeah.
So It's like worthless.
And calories? The calories is crazy. What gets you.
What's the point?
Yeah. But until we have the ability to travel to these distant watermelon and pineapple flavored planets,
right?
You can just go to drink HINT.
They deliver to your house.
They fucking bring
it. You know how heavy water is? You don't have to carry it. All right, I think that's all the points.
I actually heard they found a planet where it did have no sugar and all that stuff, but also then they passed it by because it didn't offer the discount.
Oh yeah,
that you get when you
because
it was more than $24.
That planet still charged $24.
$24, which is not a bad price for good water.
You go to drinkhint.com, Harmontown. You're saving.
You're $9. You're an astronaut. Financially.
No, you're the Neil Armstrong of water excitement.
Water's boring.
Not anymore. Hint water.
I like that hint water. Hint water?
Hint water.
Hint water is just putting a fucking straight up hit on water. They're trying to take down big water.
Which is really biting the hand that feeds you when you're hint water.
I mean, yeah,
if you look at the ingredients of hint water.
A watermelon genetically is 99% water. And you don't hear watermelons going, fuck this fucking water. It's who you are. We're water.
We are water.
Yeah.
We biologically lunged ourselves onto the shore. Our plasma is really identical to seawater.
Watermelon.
It's like a scuba tank that we brought with us. We think, you get stabbed in a Halloween movie and there's blood coming out. Oh, that's gross. It's just seawater.
Joey,
it's like a scuba tank.
Could you pick a tarot card for what you think the reincarnation of Hintwater, or who Hintwater is the reincarnation of?
Well, Kara Goldman's past life is that.
Kara Goldman, yes.
Okay.
Wow, Golden.
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 There we go.
With an I.
Let's see.
Goldine.
Yes. Oh shit.
Goldine. Please don't make me drink more water.
I felt like the whole time that Joey's been up here that an awesome rendition of Jesus Christ Superstar was just about to break.
Are you a fan of musicals, Drew?
Joey.
Well,
oh, Drew. Oh, sorry.
I mean, that one just hit home like. Because I was actually in a car with somebody listening to that song, and I'm like, oh, shit, I feel nothing. Like, and I was like, oh, man. Like, so it kind of cut deep, I guess.
So if I said I love you,
I feel nothing. I'd say, oh, man, I'm hungry. Like,
That's good. Now, it makes
Drew,
me love
Drew,
you more.
You semi-jokingly said that you're dead inside, that you have a numbness to you.
I mean,
is that true, or is that just you kind of comedically deflecting stuff?
I would say it's an issue I have, probably. Like,
it's because you have a history of not you. What you've noticed while you're taking data is that the responses that you're capable of giving are being received by other people. You're getting return data from them that's saying that response was less than, different than, more than I expected, and you are keeping score for yourself, and you're going like, "Yeah, I'm not that good at this people thing."
Yeah, I mean, I think like with the not to go back to the Halloween side, but it's like, oh, is there a way Dan's supposed to reply to that first text? Like, and it's like, and then you're like, oh, well, should I? I mean, I'm glad you just be yourself. Like,
yeah, I just fucking just locked horns with her like a fucking ram. And then she's like twisting, like I'm like, oh shit, who's gonna win? Like, but yeah, I just it's this idea of dead inside. Like, I don't know, when we had Steve Silberman on, who like we wrote this amazing book called Neurotribes, which is about neurodiversity. It doesn't have to do with like, oh, you have Asperger's, you are autistic, you are in the spectrum. Like it's just like, can we embrace this concept of neurodiversity where there's it's like now that the internet's here and we're a more text-based society, I think we're coming into a realization that, oh, a lot of humanity doesn't necessarily have this like total average facility. There's almost artificial construct of normality when you run into somebody in public And you, oh, you're learning their names, and you're like people trouble with names and faces and nervous, and I don't know, like I just like this idea. I feel like the idea of being dead inside, the idea that oh, this person doesn't have empathy and all that stuff. Like it's archaic language. Like it's problematic, as the kids would say. Like because it takes you into a zone of you're either Shatner or you're Leonard Nimoy. Like you're I don't know why I use the actors' names. You're either Kirk or you're Spock. Like you're either like, ooh, I'm gonna fly in through the windows and fuck a green lady, and like that's how I saved the universe with my dick because I love feeling. And then or you're either that or you're Spock, and like I don't understand. And it's like the whole like nerd face thing of like, ah, Spock, you have feelings and stuff. It's like, come on, what is a feeling? What does it even mean? Like you at the end of your podcast, you sit and thank 1,000 people, anybody who tweets you, you like people, like people are messaging you and going, oh, my band's playing, and like you sit there and like go like, oh, you go see this guy's band and like all this shit. You're pathetic. You're a sappy sop.
It's a good thing I'm dead inside. That doesn't bother me at all.
You're dripping in feelings, like just from a different angle. You just have to get the like you're because it's a responsibility to other people. I'm drunk.
I mean, I think what you're like
drunk at this point.
The thing about the internet is like that it gets all this like you're saying with the neurodiversity. It's like, oh wait, like I'm not the only freak out there. Like I guess I would classify myself as a spaz if we were in the Ferris Bueller spectrum of like social disorders, but like then you realize like I started the podcast and I was like, huh, I wonder if there's anybody out there that wants some weird ass bedtime stories, and then I was like, oh wait, there are, and then it was like then they started telling people, and it's like, I guess what you're saying is like, I can hear that because it's like, oh yeah, like who gives a shit how like I can't respond perfectly to everything like.
Yeah, just because if somebody came over for a cup of sugar, you wouldn't like say the right thing is the right cue. It doesn't mean you're. It's like, no, I'm fucking busy with my other thing that I connect with people through a different channel. Like that's what a painter is, or a furniture maker, or a, what do they call the guys that bring the mail? A mail bringer. Yeah,
but I mean, I think
those postal workers. There's an expression, going postal. It means to give your feelings a different outlet.
Yeah, but like with the dichotomy thing, like if you only can fit into these two boxes, I think that's like half the reason why everybody feels so alone. I mean, other than the shit you think about when you're lying in bed, like, oh, God. Yeah. But like then if you're like, oh, wait, like, yeah, there's a ton of other people that fit into this box with me, or the box doesn't have walls or whatever. But then when you're like, oh, do you like the guy with the bad hair? Like, are you for America or are you against America? It's like, what the fuck? Like...
I like the idea that he. It's like I find myself alternating, like equally offended the idea that he represents bad people and shit, like because it's like fuck you, he's a shitty bad person, like he's bad at being shitty. Like I get mad. I'm like, he's a bad Nazi, he's a bad fascist. Like Hitler would have done way better by now. Like it's like he doesn't even know what he's doing. Like he can't even do it right. Like you're bad Hitler. I want to like tweet at him. You're bad Hitler.
Wrong.
You're a bad Hitler.
Wrong.
Yeah, well, Hitler...
Such a nasty man. Such a nasty man.
Nasty man. Such a nasty man. But it's funny, like, the dichotomy thing, though, also...
I would have been a great Hitler. I would have been great.
I have so many people right now... Oh, my God. Right now, if you go yes. on all the...
I would have built a wall out of Jews.
The best Hitler. I've killed more Jews. I'm killing more Jews.
The Slavs would have paid for
all
it.
All of the Nazis say I'm the best. They say I'm a better Nazi than a Nazi.
Yes.
I have all of the... you're going to do a great, great...
Stalingrad would have fallen so fast, your head would have spun.
It's going to be
it's true. Believe
third
it's true.
And a half Reich. It's going to be...
I would have had so many Reichs, there would have been a million Reichs. Each Reich would have lasted for 10 million years. We're gonna invade China. They have a great wall.
But it's funny how sometimes dichotomy, you can't discount it either. It's not as easy as saying, oh, it's like gluten. So let's do away with dichotomy. we use it all the time to get to the bottom of shit. It's like, well, look, let's step back from this and look at one of two paths here. Either we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And it's such a healthy thing to do most half of the time, probably half of the time. And then the probably half the time, probably most of the time, probably the best times. You're either building a wall or you're not building a wall. But the other half of the time, it's like I was sitting there, like I was watching Cody like crumble to the floor during the debates and scream when he said "nasty woman." Like when he at all of the things, it's like nails on a chalkboard. Then I'm noticing myself going like, "Baby, he's not gonna win." And then she goes like, "I know." And then I'm thinking like, oh, well, why are you fucking being dramatic then? And then later on, she's like upset again. And then I go like, I thought you said you knew he wasn't going to win. And she's like, I just said that because you made me feel stupid earlier. I'm like, I wasn't trying to make you feel stupid. I was trying to make you feel safe. I don't know that he's not going to win. I'm just being a man. I'm just being a man. I was like, and it was like this crazy meta thing. Like I was being a man. I was trying to like pat her on the back during the debates and tell her the orange man's not gonna win. Like that's my job as a man during debates. And it's like so you, then you go outward on that Fibonacci curve and you go like, well, okay, so like somewhere along it's just like well when it he's not gonna win and he can't win and that doesn't but here's the what do you want, a 5-party system? You got it. You probably stay pretty apolitical. Also, well, what do you do about tonality? That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, that's tough.
Because you had to put a warning on your episode.
That
you
was
said
a hairpin turn, man. Yeah.
Well, it was a hairpin turn next to the La Brea Tar Pits, which is a everyone very values it bigly. But you had to put a little swear words warning on your episode of mine. How do you freely like just be yourself, and then like what? Where do you stand in terms of why aren't you just saying shit and fucking?
Yeah, it's tough like not being able like it's like okay, try to avoid talking about the election all because people are gonna go ape shit. Like I guess it's like keeping in mind somebody's lying in bed, and like sometimes it's gonna be like a grandmotherly like woman. And like I always, that's why I like take so much time to kind of explain that the podcast is kind of weird, because I always like think of this like this little old lady putting on like her shawl and putting on, oh, she told me to listen to the podcast, and then it's like, what the hell is he talking about? Like,
why does he love abortion so much?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get some sleep.
Do you do a little like proviso at the beginning, like you do do an explainer at the top of each episode, or do you kind of just get right into business?
It's kind of like there's like this 12-minute intro at least where it's almost like its own show where I just like ramble on and on like, okay, this is the podcast, put you to sleep. It's like I was thinking about water the other day and I was drinking water. Oh, wait, sorry, I'm in the middle of a podcast intro. And then
but,
so I'll do
is it, isn't water too boring for most?
Not, I mean, I was wishing I had like apple flavored water. And I was wondering,
can we lower
that?
The lights for a minute and just have you just like yeah, relax and have you just treat us to the cadence that you usually use? I just want to give people a taste.
Also, everybody take your shirts off.
Do we? It's too late to ask for any like wind chimes back there or anything. You don't use anything like that.
Give me like 30 seconds
for wind chimes?
Yeah. You got 29, 28.
Well, this like brings up a good thing like with wind chimes. It's like when you go to a wind chime store, do you think about like, well, just,
what's
just
your favorite?
A bamboo wind chime.
What's your favorite wind chime store in town?
I like wind chimes. But like, I don't know. And then it's like, do you want them big or small, or the ones that are like a xylophone? Because then it's like, well, then when that person comes home, they're going to run their hands across the stupid xylophone, and it's going to drive me nuts. So maybe I'll just get the I hate those bamboo wind chimes, and like I try to lie there and think about, yeah, the wind chimes I used to hear when I was on that dock that one time, like lying there on that dock, and the dock was bouncing up and down, and I was staring at the clouds, and I was like, man, like, those wind chimes are gonna wake my dad up. He's gonna go apeshit. So I got off the dock and
walked up to the house, and I was walking up the dock, and I stopped at the dock, and then I looked in the water. There was a fish there.
Kill.
And I was looking at the fish. Yeah, and I remember that time that guy was down there at the bottom, way down, all the way down. And then I was thinking, like, how did he get on that spaceship that one time? Like, because I was watching that one where he was on the spaceship and his mask was different. And, like, I was like, man, like, how'd he get a new mask? Like, is that, like, was that some kind of interstellar shit? Like, and then, oh, yeah, because interstellar, like, what if he got sucked into a black hole and then he, like, and then my dad dropped his beer on the dock and I said, oh, shit. Better be quiet and not talk over these wind chimes.
Hurry back.
But I was like, I was thinking about, like, that guy. What's his name? His name, like, so this would be the podcast. I couldn't say Freddy or Jason. But I said Voorhees. Like, have I known any Voorhees before? Because Voorhees is a good Voorhees. Voorhees. Like, Voorhees. And I started hearing things. And then I started feeling angry. It was the wind chimes, and they kept going, ringing over and over.
I'm never going to sleep again.
What's the end?
This is a nightmare.
Yeah, you can't do anything. I never get to kill people.
Yeah, I mean, he usually works in a way.
I just picture a lot of grandmothers just wide awake.
this is the end.
But is there a guiding principle that keeps you from, as you said, when you picture that old woman with the shawl, which let's use her as a symbol of, like, that's a reason to not get political, that's a reason to not use profanity. What compass do you, is there like a guiding principle that keeps you clear of all of that?
No, and like I find like using I guess I struggle with that because it's like, I think some people when you swear it makes them feel more connected, like like this vanillaizing of everything, like actually I think excludes people or giving everything normalcy. It's like, oh, my podcast is not normal, like it's not like right. So it's like I struggle with like, oh, people are like, I can't believe you swore, I'm never listening again, and then I feel ashamed or whatever, but then I'm like, well, like I think there's probably 4,000 people that feel like, oh, finally someone's swearing on a sleep podcast.
But how do you, so in your day-to-day life, the person that you are, if I'm hanging out with you or how often are you saying the word fuck, shit, and whatnot? Because I'm saying it every other word.
I mean probably pretty often, like,
that's the confusing thing to me, is that you're being yourself, like you're going down the mine that I'm going down, but you're somehow,
but you're kind of putting on, Drew, more of like a, like, not a character, but you're going into a certain mode where you're like, you, like, if you had to put on the hat, Dan, of let's make everybody feel relaxed, you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't.
Do you have kids?
I have one kid, yeah.
And so is it possible that maybe you're accessing that lobe where you're like, she's listening, or is it your daughter?
I think it's like, part of it is like, my internal critic is so loud and powerful. And like, so even when I sit down to record the show, like there's that narrative track going, like, don't fuck this up. Like, right. like so it's like, I try to like just get to this. Unfortunately, the podcast doesn't translate to my regular life where I can be like, oh man, go ahead and cut me off. Like, but like, so like to counteract my critic, it's like, it's the same part that people fall asleep to, I think, because their critic or that aggressive part of themselves is what's poking at them. Like, as soon as you get in bed, it's like, why didn't you get this done today? Why did you piss your pants? Like, you know, and it's like, and then you're like, like the person starts to like buy into that story, and they just start listening to that story. So it's like, I'm there and I'm like, well, here's another story you can listen to. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. It doesn't really go anywhere. And I think like at the same time, I'm like trying to tell, I'm like, listen, dude,
we're just making a podcast to put people to sleep here. Like, this isn't like a fourth draft or something. Right,
right.
Like,
when I asked you earlier, when I said earlier that that must make you feel good, that you help people deal with their insomnia or go to sleep, and you said, no, I feel nothing. But, like, do you feel like this is a benevolent thing you're doing, or is that not why you're doing it? Is this more just you getting something off of your chest? Or how important is it that you might be helping other strangers out?
I mean, it could be unpacked by, like, psychologists. Like, I think part of it is, like, really narcissistic, like that when I was a kid I couldn't sleep and I lied there in bed miserable and I didn't feel like I was like, all right, you're on your own to deal with this, and I can't go back in time to fix that, you know? So I think, like, if like a cold ass psychiatrist would be like, oh well, that's just what you're trying to do, just trying to go back. But I guess, like, it is cool, like, if I hear from somebody like that has like PTSD, like from something that happened, I guess I do feel stuff sometimes. Like, it's like, holy shit, like, this silly thing I'm doing can help distract you from something that's horrific. Or people.
Does that warm you up a little bit? Like, how do you absorb that compliment? Or do you just stick it in a drawer somewhere and think deal with it later?
Yeah, I guess I try to put it in, like, this basket of, like, okay, is this real? Like, am I really helping people?
I always just put it in a bin that's like, okay, so that's like a firewood pile, like, called I won't get kicked out of society for that amount of time. Like,
yeah.
Every time someone writes and says, like, you helped because this feely-feely thing. And then I go, like, oh, good, so you'll have my back when they're about to throw me off a cliff.
It is really weird, like from Harmontown and from, like doing other comedy shows, like Whose Line, like, people walk up and they say, hey, like, it's really common, like, strangely common, that people come up and say, like, you helped me through a really hard time. Like, I was sick, or I was in hospital, or my mother was going through a thing. Like, and people have, like, these really intense connections to this stupid thing that we're, like, I mean, not that this is stupid, but it is stupid. Like, it's irresponsible, and we don't think about it. We just show up half drunk and do this thing. But people, like, have these weird connections to it. And when they say, you really helped me through some major shit, and your instinct is to go, you got to get out more, like, and deflect that. But really, that's like that's a major thing to unload.
But it also doesn't, you can't, like, translate it into anything that starts with your value. Like, I've come to look at it like, if you were in a pool and people are just grabbing you. That's a bad example because someone's going to drown. But like, if you're in the dark or everyone's on ecstasy or it's a confusing party or in a hay maze or something, like, somebody grabbing you and saying, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I ran into you. I remember you from before by the entrance to the hay maze. And I was with my girlfriend. I don't know if you remember her, but I lost her. And, like, I just seeing you, like, reminds me. But you kind of, like, you were like, oh, so we are catchers in the rye. I didn't read the book. They tried to make this. I got 100 on the test. I just, like, click alienation. Yeah, got it. But I think it's something about that. Like, it's like you're running into each other, and people are expressing that, like, it's not oh, you did something good, like, your snake oil is better than other snake oil. It's like, oh, when you put yourself out there, when you get onto the dance floor, even if you're doing a silly dance, even if you're that sooner or later you get to experience the sensation of dancing with other people, that they will, if someone will go, yay, I like you're, I'm so glad you're out here because these weddings suck.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's like the other thing. I mean, it makes me think of two things. One, it, like, also, but
I,
like,
I PT'd him.
But
all right, you pre-teed
his SD.
All right,
TBT'd.
We'll figure it out later.
But I mean, the other thing is, people don't get credit for being nice. Like, it's like all the people that say thank you for shit. Like, everybody's always heaping on. And I mean, I guess I'm a cynical person too. But it's like, I've been blown away, like you're saying, that people come up to, like, that people are thankful. Like, it's like, I don't know, when we look at all this election shit and, like, oh, how do you think about it? Like, it's like, oh, wait, there's tons of people out there, and they might even be people that believe in the crazy, like, the other stuff, but it's like, that are saying, like, thank you. Like, I don't know. It is definitely, like, making the show has made me maybe like a softer person, or been like, man, there is some good in the world, despite like presuming there isn't or whatever. I don't know.
When you do one, do you have that kind of sense of like some sort of sense of accomplishment, or is it simply just like, oh, I did one thing today that was semi or possibly productive, and so like I can rest a little easier?
It's more like, I guess if I have like one out of every 30 episodes or 40 episodes, then I feel like damn, that came out good. Even if it's not good, like, I don't know, like once every 40 episodes I'll have one done, I'll be like, oh, like that felt really good. Like, and I don't care, like I can make it another 40 episodes.
I'm curious though, because like I'm so into detail, almost to the point of distraction, that I don't know that I would fall asleep. I think that I was like, where's he going with this? Or even if you're not
very
going anywhere,
the point that's okay. Like, and yeah. I think that's part of the interesting thing is that, as we said in the beginning, if a doctor tells you to chew on a straw, like the straw chewing is just gonna, it sends you into this weird thing, and like he's like, hey, listen, by the way, if you find yourself very focused on what I'm saying, you know, that's okay too. You're not doing it wrong. You may fall asleep to something else afterwards.
Joey, are you a good sleeper? Are you a
Oh yes, I sleep all the time.
That's the best. Oh my God.
Well, I think if we can pack both into 5 minutes each, I would say one thing I would like to try is, Joey, could you give us a tarot reading for next week's episode? I guess. Oh. Am I abusing you by asking you to precog?
Oh, thank you.
Like, is that...
No, I'm sure that the spirits are willing, you know.
So good.
Which spirits?
Here's a cynical question, Joey, while you're going through that.
Yeah.
Your positivity, which you seem to exude...
Oh, thank you.
I knew you were going to say that. It's not an act at all. Dichotomy guy. I mean, like, this is like, you're not pushing down some other like rage part of yourself, or are you actually this groovy, like, for real?
Oh, I'm a good Mormon boy. That's a thing, right? Like,
Mormons I went to high school with were the coolest. Like, they were like they seemed to be the most well-adjusted. Like, they liked their families and shit. And
right. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's definitely part of it.
But no, so, there were a couple weird ones though. Yeah.
Well, no, definitely there are the weird ones. So being nice is a virtue, but being someone who likes people is a gift, and so if you like people, it's easy to be nice.
Yeah, there you are. But liking people is a skill.
Oh well.
Because I like people, I like strangers, but also I can be really misanthropic, like the flip of a coin. Like,
sure.
Like people can be like, when I'm driving, everyone's an enemy, but then I could be at the airport and just be in a certain mood where I'm very philanthropic and really into everybody.
Yeah.
But do you go through that too? Have you mastered a skill where you can, like, you're equanimous to just all things at all times?
Well, cannabis helps.
Cheater.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's true.
So I've never been.
I want you to have a podcast because your voice is soothing as fuck.
Thank you. No, we have the pulpit. It's just something we're doing in Utah. We've had like 20 episodes, and we're so excited to have Urshine Jane on this Wednesday.
Yeah.
So we get into all kinds of fun little esoteric things that may inadvertently put people to sleep, but we would encourage anybody to just keep a dream journal about what they dream about after they listen to the podcast, because we need as many insights as possible, because we're trying to predict the end of the world, and hence the tarot. And I don't really have a trained use of these cards, but
that's the last thing we would have wanted.
That just gets in the way of the
spirits.
So
just
Let's just let the cards fall.
The education will inhibit the genius. That's exactly.
So we'll let them fall where they may.
Cards are on the floor.
Yeah, they just kind of stayed in a pile. So we'll try this. Again.
That indicates. Well, I'll let you.
See, now, if you hadn't have told me, I would have thought you had studied this your whole life.
Thank you. Yeah, Queen of Cups.
Like a magician.
So, and you had asked me earlier about the creator of Hint Water, and once again, that's Kara Golden.
Yes.
So, the card that came up is Queen of Cups, so compliment to your card. And
get that Hint Water fortune.
That's right. So you're probably going to mention Hint Water again is what the cards are saying. That's what I'm getting.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it looks like the past life of Kara Golden is Pamela Goldman Smith, the creator of the tarot deck, because I think I forgot to take this card out of the pile.
Dan, your card is Joker. My card is Hoyle's Rules of Poker.
Anyway, our show has just become, in a good way, it's just become Carson. We're just Carson. Is that a guy with a lizard coming out next? And,
Joan Embry is going to come out?
Or a lady with a lizard.
Nice save. You're getting so good at these afterthoughts.
Yes. These, I call them cap doffers. I'm learning now. Our president's going to be a space lady, and I'm gonna add, or maybe it's a lady to the end of every expression I've used. All right. Well, so then I guess the last thing to do is to try to do, if we can possibly accomplish it, what we do is like a sleepy rap, and then. But then the bridge is like, and then if we could, is there any way to go from the rap beat to then the wind chime silence and let Drew just fill like, so I go, so I do some rapping and then it goes into wind chimes and Drew like talks for a little bit, probably like about what I rapped about. And then it goes back into me rapping.
Yep.
And so on until 10 p.m.
Can I lie on the floor, please?
That's perfect. I think it would be rude of us to not let you do that.
I don't know how I expected him to lie on the floor, but it wasn't that. Right?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. and you were pleasantly surprised, right? Like you didn't know it was going to be that adorable and take up that little space. Like he turned into a little sleepy, like a French children's book illustration. All right, so.
Oh, man. The crowd's going wild.
Yeah. That's a.
Oh, shit. It's the banner from the Bootsins house. Oh, no. Oh,
shit. All right.
Yo.
Yo.
Yo. Yo.
Zach, lay a beat on us, man.
Yo.
Sleepy rap beat, Zach.
Yo.
Yo.
Zach McKeever on the beats back here. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yo. 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 Yo, yo, sleepy time, yo, 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 sleepy time, yo, 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 sleepy time, yo, 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 I got my pillow, yo, 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 I got my sleepy cap on, I'm gonna go to sleep now, gonna lay down and I don't know how, I'm gonna first try with my head and my feet, then I'm gonna let my back do the work, sheet. Sleepy sheets, sleepy blankets, and it's rare with me. You got a sleepy time on the dime. Give me a second for the next rhyme. I'm gonna go to sleep. Hold it. Whoa, my name is MC Sleep. Okay. All right.
Oh, shit. Yeah. It's MC Sleep, y'all.
Thank you. Thank you.
Shit's about to get drowsy.
Thank you. I was just warming up.
It's all right.
All right.
You ready, MC Sleep?
Yes. All yes, right. Thank you.
Y'all ready for MC Sleep?
That was just a warm up.
Yeah.
He's just warming you up, y'all. Yeah, okay. Here we go.
MC Sleep.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yo.
Drowsy.
Yo.
Sleepy.
Yo.
Drowsy.
Yo. Oh.
Soporific.
Okay. All right. Yo. All right. Yo. 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 Yeah. Okay. All right. Yo. Okay. Here we go. Yo.
All right. Yo, 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 MC Sleep, if you're not feeling it, man, we can do it. We can do it.
No. I'm fucking sleepy. Just give me a second.
Right. You seem a little high strung right now.
Don't fuck with me. I'm the fucking master of sleep.
I play for keeps. Right now.
Okay. Yo, just keep on the beat or you're gonna give it sheep through the jump over the fence into your mind to keep. I'm gonna shoot your ass when you go to sleep, but because your soul helps me sleep. I suck your soul from your body and it makes me sleep. You motherfucker, I count your ass like sheep. Okay. Let me just. Wait. That was warm up too.
Do you help us? Do you help us go to sleep, or are you no, trying
just,
to make
just
us?
Just give me
us?
A second. Give me a fucking time to focus. I have so much shit going on during the day. I need to fucking relax and rap.
I'm just worried about you, MC Sleep. I've never seen you like this.
Yeah. Well, your worry tends to make me worry. Okay. So just let me fucking focus. Head on the pillow, pillow on the bed. I fucked your mama so hard she almost lost her head. Foot post, head post in the bedroom. I went to Halloween, I saw her on a broom. She's a witch, not a bitch, she's my lady. I fucked your mom cause my name is McGrady. I'm Irish. My name is John McGrady. I'm in the backyard in your window. What?
You never told me you were Irish. MC Sleep.
Sorry. Yo. Yo. In your backyard. Sorry, just give me a second.
Why is there a window in my backyard?
Just take it easy. That wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. That wasn't me in your backyard.
You're deflecting. You're deflecting.
No, no. That's the next day at work, and I'm denying everything. My name is McGrady. I work in the mailroom. I'm not the creepy person at all. I wasn't in your backyard. How dare you accuse me? Yo, okay. Just, okay, come on. All right, just, okay. I got a little car. It goes real far. I go toot toot. My name is Jamie Farr. I was on MASH. I played Klinger. When I eat your mama's pussy, the feeling lingers. She comes hard. She comes real slow. She comes next week, and then she grows as a person. My cunnilingus is spiritual. I fucked your mama, and I healed you all. I healed you all. That I rhyme spiritual with healed you all.
It seems like a forced rhyme, MC Sleep.
I don't know. Pretty fucking amazing. If I had committed to it would have been amazing.
Crudely shoehorned.
Yo, okay, all right. Yo. Shoe, hat, shirt, bat, salt, ketchup.
You can't rhyme
ketchup. All right, starting over. All right, just give me a second.
MC Sleep, y'all. Is MC Sleepy?
All right.
It's going to put you all to sleep.
Yo. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. Yo. Well, my name is Sleepy's Jim. I'm going to come into your house after him. I sound the same, but I'm a different guy. I'm Sleepy Jim, and I'll tell you why. When he was born, he was a juvenile offender. And I used to hang out with him and play Defender in his parents' basement. And then we were united at the soul. And now I follow him around and try to keep him on a roll. But he victimizes people. He stands in their backyards and looks in their windows and it's creeple. So I try to counsel him. Creeple. I'm sort of like a sponsor in AA, if that's, that makes you understand it. Fuck, this is bad. Like, okay.
Yo, Sleepy Jim. Right. Sleepy Jim in the house.
Fuck. All right.
MC Sleep, you're back?
All right. I'm MC Sleepy, and I'm here to say I'd like to sleep longer than you do today. I'd like to get 16 hours if I can. I don't have much work to do, so I feel... give me a hand. Fuck. All right, fuck it. All right, just give me a second. All right.
MC Sleepy, y'all. It's about to get sleepy.
Left to the right, top to the down. Fucked your mama, smiled to a frown. Made her happy, made her sad. I fuck her good, I fuck her bad. I fuck your dog, I fuck your cat. I fuck a volleyball with a bat. I put all your equipment on hold. I fucked your mama, italics, bold face, Helvetica, sans serif, every font is Karen Kilgariff, my previous guest. I fuck your mama so hard, I'm the best. I put my dick on a ship and I send it from the harbor to invade itself. I got two dicks and two chips.
Yo,
fuck.
MC Sleepy, maybe it's not your night tonight, MC Sleepy.
Come on, no, don't! What time is it?
Sometimes you gotta
late.
Know when to let it go.
There's so much to do in the morning. Yo, I love to rap. My name is Sleepy Rapper, and I love to rap. I'm not gonna make it very complicated. I'm not gonna do the things that we hated. I'm just gonna rap. My name is Sleepy Rapper. Fuck!
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody.
Wait, no.
No, let it go, Sleepy Rapper.
No,
MC Sleepy.
No,
get some
rest.
You
can't do that. Always do that.
Here's some melatonin.
I'm gonna commit to doing my part bad, and then Drew's gonna do his part. Okay, so I'm just gonna do a couple of bars. All right.
Yeah, we don't serve breakfast, MC Sleepy.
All right. Go back to sleep. Cereal, pillows, I like to rap about sleepy willows. It doesn't matter if I rap good or bad, cause now Drew's taking over. He's what I had for breakfast, like pancakes and blueberries. I fucked your mama cause her pussy was hairy, but I'm not judging her for that. There's no body shaming that happens here. That's not good.
Sleepy McGrady's driving in his little car, peeping in windows every place, but he's gonna come up to your window and say, hey, little buddy, hey, little buddy. Keep on sleeping, he's not peeping. He's got his little car and he's driving down the street. It just peeping in windows, driving down the car. And then he says, well, let me turn here. Is my car idle?
Thank you for coming to Harmontown.
I'm going to sleep.
Let's hear it for Joey, the reincarnated Joseph Smith from Provo. Spencer Crittenden. Drew Ackerman. MC Sleepy. Sleepy Jim. I'm Jeff Davis. Let's hear for your mayor, Dan Harmon, everybody. Drive fast, take chances.
I'm MC Sleepy.